You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th, hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Welcome to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. This podcast is a condensed version of today's episode of Undisputed, handpicked with the best segments and discussions. Skip, Shannon, let's go.
Welcome back to Undisputed. Joining us now is a guy who's got a new album, The Libra, a new music video out for his song, Hypno, Atlanta legend and three-time Grammy winner, T.I. Thanks for joining us today. Now, T.I., we know you're a big LeBron fan, so we have to ask you, how impressive did you think LeBron's run to the title was?
I mean, I think every performance he's had in the finals has been impressive. This was no different. I think that for any player to come to a team and on the first year of making it to the finals, actually get a ring, you know what I'm saying? I think that's impressive. And to be on three different teams of which you brought championships to their teams immediately, almost immediately. I think that's pretty impressive, if I must say so myself.
Mm. Must say so himself.
Well, why don't you say so yourself? You know,
hey, you know, I'm talking to my home team, the king of the South, Mr. Tip himself. Tip, yeah. I go back and forth with Skip every day, and he try to minimize my guy. Put it in rap context. Take LeBron. If LeBron was a rapper, who would he be? What is this the equivalent of in the rap game?
I mean, man, I think LeBron would be equivalent to a Jay-Z.
What? You heard the man.
Jay-Z is not 4-6 in the finals.
You heard the man. He said Jay-Z.
I heard the man, but you heard me.
4-6 in the finals.
Yeah.
What do you mean? Well, I mean, but listen, Skip. The gentleman is he's superlative in more things on the court than any other player in history. You cannot find another player historically that has played as many positions and done as many things as well as LeBron has done consistently over his years in the league. I've never seen it.
Well, Tip, I saw Magic Johnson stand in as a rookie for Kareem Abdul-Jabbar in what was it, Game 6
game
of the
six.
Finals, mm-hmm. and just put on a show and take over the whole series as the five, as the center.
Yeah.
So he did it all. He was the point guard playing center. I don't know. Is that not beyond LeBron?
That one game, we do that all the time.
I don't think so. Mm. I'm sorry. I just don't think so, just given the talent. I think the level of talent that they had at that time on the Lakers to support Magic at the time that I remember. Wasn't that the James Worthy team?
No, that was a Jamal Wilkes team. That was Jamal Wilkes, Norm Nixon. Mm-hmm. But they were loaded.
Okay, yeah, I was about 2 years old. You know, so you're going to have to forgive me if I may not be as abreast on that particular run.
Okay, but I think you're old enough to remember this guy named Jordan in Chicago. Are you suggesting LeBron is better than that guy?
No, by no means am I suggesting that. Michael Jordan is better, I think, better overall. Like, you know, he has more of an illustrious career, and he has done more for basketball from the time Jordan came in the league to right now. That goes without saying. However, LeBron does more things on the court than Michael Jordan did. LeBron fills more gaps and has more checks by his name on the court than Michael Jordan did. Michael Jordan did what he did better than anyone else who's ever bounced the basketball. But LeBron does more things better.
Well, all I know is that Jordan won 10 scoring titles to LeBron's one scoring title, and that Jordan actually had a year in which he won the scoring title and he won Defensive Player of the Year all at once. How do you top that?
Because that ain't what LeBron does.
Okay, fine. But who's the better player? Jordan.
Go ahead, Tip.
I didn't know. I mean, I don't think we can't ever put anybody above the GOAT. You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to get into any slander of Michael Jordan here. I didn't know that's what we're talking about.
No, we're not. I get it every day from this guy.
Tip, you know what? This is where you and I, we homeboy. You know, hey. But we're going to have to part right here. Because anytime you put anybody in front of the GOAT, Bron, GOAT James, we part ways.
Well, I can't go above MJ, man. I can't put LeBron above MJ. I think that's going to take, you know, that's going to take some more time. But I think he will win as many or more rings than MJ, though.
Ugh. Yeah. So are you predicting he's going to win 3 more rings?
I think it's potentially, because look at how he's playing right now. He could go another 10 years if he wanted to.
Another 10 years at this level?
We ain't going to go by 5.
He could.
Because we don't.
I mean, it wouldn't take 10. It wouldn't take 10, but if you look at him, he's in perfect shape. You know, has he shown any signs of slowing down?
No.
Nope. I will give you this. He had the greatest 17th year ever of anybody. But he also, at the end of the 17th year, he got every break he could ever get. He had the easiest and luckiest path to a ring he has ever had, maybe any star has ever had, because he got a 35-39 Portland team, and then he got the Rockets after they lost Daniel House, and then he avoided having to play the Clippers because the Clippers did not want to be in the bubble. It's as simple as that.
Tip.
The man beat the teams you put in front of him. Man. It ain't his fault who got hurt. It ain't his fault who made it to the dance. He beat whoever you put in front of him. Mm. If the Clippers would have made it there, you'd have beat them too.
I don't think
help me understand. Okay, we go to the studio, and we got the same producer, and we got the same. We got some of the same artists collabing on the. I got an album. You got an album. Your album, I sell mine, and I'm saying, well, T.I. got a break. Well, if we got the same producer, we got the same collab, you just better than me. Can it be the Lakers just better than the Clippers?
Mm.
The breaks go both ways.
Mm. Thank you. They got a break, too. They had 5 months off.
Mm. Who was favored to win it all when the playoffs started? Help me out, LeShannon Sharp.
See, y'all were favored, but y'all didn't get it done. We got it done.
Clippers were favored. Clippers did not want to be in the bubble. That was a bubble championship. That was a COVID championship. That was a cubic zirconia championship.
You hear that foolishness?
Yeah. This straight truth.
You doing all that crying? What the baby going to do?
Speaking of crying, we got to talk some football because I got to ask you, as a Falcon fan, obviously born and raised in Atlanta, have you yet gotten over your Falcons not recovering the onside kick that my Cowboys recovered?
Okay, so listen, right? So we just won a game last week.
You did?
And we seems to be a pretty good interim coach. So we're not going to focus on the past. We can't move forward looking behind us. You dig what I'm saying? We know that onside kick was an atrocity, and we're just going to breeze on past that.
It was an atrocity.
But truth be told, Tip, have you really gotten over 28-3?
No. No.
Never.
No. Think every time you see it.
Mm. I mean, you think, okay, 28-3, and then you had the Cowboys down by 19, and then you had Chicago down, and then the Braves were up 3-1. Last but not least, you do realize that Trey Young was up H-O-R in a horse to Chauncey Billups and lost that too.
Did he really? I forgot that. That's a good note.
Mm. Well, thank God for Magic City and Blue Flame, man. Atlanta culture can overcome anything. You know what I'm saying? We are so rich in culture that is going to be manifested into our sports team somehow, some way. Let's talk about the Atlanta United.
Okay.
The Atlanta United, they won their championship. They took it all. Mm. You know, let's talk about that.
take a little time.
By the way, speaking of Magic City, that is why the Clippers did not get to the Lakers, because sweet Lou Williams wound up in Magic City from the Magic Kingdom. Am I right?
Allegedly.
I think it was posted on social.
But the fool be swinging, Tip. So I don't know what you want me to tell him.
Listen, LeBron won the ring.
Thank you.
You know what I'm saying? And I think that ends that discussion. The Falcons won last Sunday. We're looking forward to winning this Sunday. You know what I'm saying? So that ends that discussion. And as far as the lemon pepper wings from Magic City, just had some last night. Still
Hey, Tip, give me some of the collabs. Who on your album with you?
Man, everybody from Young Thug to Lil Baby, 42 Doug, 21 Savage, Snoop Dogg, Mozzie, Jeremiah. We have, man, my son, Damani, Tokyo Jet, just to name a few.
What?
You did it, King of the South, bank heads on, Cascade Road riding. Yeah. You know, if you don't say Cascade, it's not Cascade, it's Cascade.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? You got to go ahead and cut the parts of the syllable you don't need completely out the word.
Cascade. Appreciate it, Tip.
Yes, we do.
Congrats on the new album. Thank you so much.
No mercy.
When it comes to travel, we all know that feeling of wanting to escape to our happy place, whether it's hitting the beach, the ski slopes, or just kicking it with your crew in a tropical paradise. And Priceline wants you to get there and be very happy with a happy price. So you never have to miss a trip. Let me tell you, Priceline has got your back to make it all happen. My happy place is Cabo San Lucas, Mexico. Picture this: crystal clear waters, golden sands, and sun shining down on you like it's your personal spotlight. That's right. Cabo is my ultimate happy place. And you know what makes it even better? Priceline's VIP family feature. You heard it from me. That's right. VIP treatment for you and your squad. Imagine being with your crew, soaking up the sun and living your best life. And while scoring deals up to 5 times faster, it's like scoring a game-winning touchdown on vacation. Now, who am I taking with me to Cabo? To that epic trip, that adventure? My boys, my ride or dies, my crew. Ones who've been there through thick and thin from the beginning to the end. I'm not taking any kids, no kids. Just me and the boys living it up. So what are you waiting for? Download the Priceline app today and save up to 60% off select hotels and go to your favorite happy price with Priceline. Make some memories that'll last a lifetime. Cabo ain't ready for me or us, but we're ready for Cabo. Thanks to Priceline, the real MVP of travel.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Wednesday night, the Rays battled back to tie the World Series at one game apiece, setting the stage for a pivotal Game 3 against Mookie Betts, Walker Buehler, and the Dodgers tonight at 7:30 Eastern, 4:30 Pacific, only on Fox and the Fox Sports app. Now, the Eagles were barely able to fend off the Giants last night in Philadelphia. Wentz hit Boston Scott with a game-winning touchdown that left only 34 seconds on the clock. The Giants' last drive was cut short when Daniel Jones was strip-sacked and Philly clinched the game, and they now sit atop the NFC East with a 2-4-1 record. We are joined now by Fox Sports NFL analyst Michael Vick. Now, Michael, are the Eagles now clearly better than the Cowboys?
Yes, they are. The Eagles are better than the Cowboys for a couple different reasons. And I got to shine the spotlight on the level of consistency that the Eagles do bring, and that's at the defensive line position. When you play the Philadelphia Eagles, the one thing that you know they're going to do is they're going to rush the passer, get after the quarterback, and they're going to make stops in the run game. And that's enough to get opposing quarterbacks off the spot and force 2 or 3 turnovers per game, whether it's you know, in the run game or just forcing the quarterback to throw the ball erratically, you know, it creates opportunity, you know, on the offensive side of the ball. You know, they do enough. You know, Carson Wentz has, you know, fought in games and he's battled, and you have to respect that. And, you know, the fact that they have guys who are pretty much guys who came off the practice squad and has been developed by Doug Peterson, you know, says a lot about the Philadelphia Eagles. So they're finding ways to win. They haven't won too many games, you know, two max, you know, had a tie. But, you know, nevertheless, they are staying in games. They are fighting. They are battling to the end. And Carson Wentz is doing whatever it takes, regardless of the circumstances and conditions, to play winning football. You know, they might not get the outcome that they want, but they're playing winning football. And, you know, so far, so good. You know, at the end of the day, you know, atop the NFC East for whatever it's worth. And that's just something that they can hang their hats on right now. And, you know, hopefully they'll continue to get healthy and the defensive line can continue to create stops and get turnovers and give the offense opportunities to go out there and try to make some plays.
I'm not going to say the Eagles are clearly better, but I believe they're better, Skip, because what I see from the Eagles every single game is I see fight. And that's something that I haven't seen on a consistent basis or hardly ever this season from the Cowboys. And therein lies the thing. Skip, look, when I first went to Baltimore in 2000, that offense really wasn't catered to what I do. But I can't say because I dropped the ball, Skip, man, this offense ain't built for me. Because I'm not hustling, because I'm not where I'm supposed to be, I'm blowing assignment. Skip, this defense ain't really suited for me, Skip. Well, you're supposed to have force. If you force, the defense would be for you because you'd be in position to make a play. Skip, I just don't like the excuse making. And you were seeing a lot of that because if you look at the Eagles, they're in a very similar situation as the Cowboys. You look at their entire offensive line, with the exception of Kelce, he's the only starter that started the season. Just like Connor Williams is the only starter that started the season. You look at the skill position. Alshon has been out basically the whole year. D-Jack played basically a game, a half a game. He's out. Both of their tight ends are missing. Miles Sanders is not out. They just keep fighting, keep plugging, making no excuses. Guys play hard. Carson Wentz taking a pounding every single game. He has been hit and sacked as many as anybody other than Joe Burrow. All he does is just keep fighting, keep hanging on. So that's why I'm going to say they're better, because they're going to fight tooth and nail to the end, and they don't make any excuses. And last night, Mike, they overcame some horrible play calling and some horrible decision-making by Dougie P. Because you take the 3 points on fourth and goal from the three.
I agree.
With a banged up offensive line. Man, you had a punt kick. And then you come back with the other two-point play. Yeah, never mind. But anyway, I'm going to take the Eagles saying they're slightly better than the Cowboys. But Skip, that ain't saying much.
Ha, ha, ha. So, for our viewers out there, this is what I'm up against. Even though Michael Vick originally was an Atlanta Falcon, he really kind of bleeds some green because he loves his Philadelphia Eagles, and I'm good with that. I got no issue with that. And the guy across from me at the table live here in studio despises the Dallas Cowboys. He lives to hate the Dallas Cowboys. So I got it. You're going to say, yeah, and you're actually reasonably objective in your assessment.
That, yes.
Okay. I will give you this. The Eagles are playing better than the Cowboys are playing. I do not believe, and I'm going to be stubbornly proud about this because I was born and raised a Cowboy fan. I do not believe the Eagles are better than the Cowboys. They're just not, I believe the Cowboys are more talented than the Eagles on both sides of the ball. I give you the defense. They come after you, but they're in the same system they've been in for this whole run with Doug Peterson and Jim Schwartz.
Correct.
They get it, they know it, and they are relatively healthy on defense, right?
Yes.
Relatively.
Yes.
The offenses are similarly decimated.
Very.
And you could argue yours
Philly's
is even
more.
You could certainly make that case, although I don't know. The offensive line, that's I think the Dallas one is worse off than your Philly one.
I don't know, Skip. You see them guys in there, but you look at our skill position. I mean, y'all still got those three wide receivers.
We got
tight
that.
End.
We got that. But every time I see Boston Scott come out of nowhere, he looks like he's better than Clyde Edwards-Helaire ever thought about being.
That's what
I'm serious.
You.
I'm serious. No. Does he not play big?
Yeah, he does.
And down the stretch in those four games last year, I feel sorry for him because they put Miles Sanders back in, and I like Miles Sanders. Mm-hmm. But listen, this kid, He just rises, literally rises and shines. And my least favorite quote after the game was from Carson Wentz, who said, when I let the last one go, the touchdown throw, he said, I thought it was a little high, but he plays so much bigger than he is. I'm getting sick and tired of seeing that
I
highlight.
I definitely did. I think a 5'6 guy was going to make that catch.
5'6, and he goes up and snatches it. It's a rocket straight over his helmet. It's a hard catch, man, and Peppers is all over him. Yes. Can you play that much better than Peppers played it, except getting your hand on the football? And what a catch. It's like the catch of the year to me, and get your feet down, get your body through the end zone.
Yeah.
I give it to you, but I don't buy Carson Wentz. I don't believe in him.
You got to.
Yeah, he's more bounce it to him than he's walk it to him.
Skip, he showed you last night. Did you see the throws on the sideline? The one to Fulgham, the one to, who was that, Hightower? Mm-hmm. The one he dropped in the bucket to Hightower.
Skip,
he keep making these plays. You're not convinced yet?
No, I'm not, because he had a QBR of 55 last night, which is barely above average, and Danny Dimes had a 76 QBR. So that stat says Danny Dimes outplayed Carson Wentz in Philadelphia. Yep. And that first interception he threw, that tied him for the league lead in interceptions with Kirk Cousins. So Carson Wentz, Kirk Cousins, who you got?
I'm taking.
Can we see that? This is as bad an interception as you ever see, because it's from the 20-yard line. And what, Carson, what are you doing? Don't do that. Don't. I think Bradberry was the primary receiver on that play, right? What are you doing?
That's to my point, Skip. You know, Carson's going to make some erratic throws.
He will.
You know, he's going to play sporadic at times, but they continuously battle. Like, they are in the game, and they always come out hot. They always come out. They always score a touchdown in the first 15 of the game. And make you believe that the Philadelphia Eagles are back and they have arrived. But, you know, things start to always go south, and it's a different look every single time. But they stay in the games. They are competitive. And when I was looking at the overall picture of both teams, Dallas and Philly, the only bright spot, like I said, I could find was the defensive line and the edge going to the Philadelphia Eagles, because that's where they win their football games. They stopped the New York Giants last night when they needed it the most. And New York Giants couldn't do anything to combat it.
I got you. But with 2:14 left in the game, they gave Danny Dimes just enough time to get off a great throw to his tight end, Evan Engram, if we could see this, please. And it's a pretty routine catch, certainly for a Shannon Sharp. But this is a ball you have to put in your back pocket. This is a catch that's going to set you up first and 10 at the 15-yard line, and you are about to be able to at least kick the field goal that is going to ice the game in favor of the visiting team. Am I right?
You just
got to catch that. I mean, that's
and
easy.
And that was a great design, because the thing is, you're looking to play in and out, and the guy, and Evan Engram stutters the guy.
He did.
Gets a free release, clean release.
Whew.
You just got to catch. That's, you got to finish the play.
Okay, so that's how close.
Yeah,
that's how close you were. We'd be having a whole. The Eagles are 1-5-1 if he makes that catch, right?
Yeah.
Okay, but you got me. Right now, my team's horrible. My team's got nothing going.
Yeah, I like that. I like the way you say that. You emphasize horrible.
Well, they're horrible. They're on pace to give up more points than any team in the history of pro football.
Counting on that.
How can I defend that?
Counting on it.
They have the most turnovers in all of pro football, and they have the worst turnover differential.
Not surprised.
How can I? I can't defend it, right?
But Skip.
Hey, Skip.
Yeah. Go ahead, Mike.
You spoke about Boston Scott, and Boston Scott came off the practice squad, and he was developed last season.
He
emerged last season as a playmaker, you know, so to speak. The Dallas Cowboys have every opportunity to develop those guys that's on the practice squad, just like everybody else. And I think this would be a message to every team around the league to get the second and third team guys ready.
Yep.
Don't just let them not get reps and not, you know, have an opportunity to, you know, at least feel what the game is all about throughout the week. You know, you got to prepare those guys as if they're going to play. And I think that's something that the Dallas Cowboys have to do moving forward.
It's a great point. But unfortunately, right now, a running back, I have a play breaker. His name is Ezekiel Elliott, and he is fumbling, man. He's fumbling right, left. He's got more fumbles than anybody in the league. Fumbles lost 4. He's fumbled 5 times already in, 6 games.
Yep.
How can I defend that? So would I take Boston Scott right now over Zeke? I would, because Boston Scott just keeps making plays. I need Zeke to make some plays.
If you look at their guys, you look at Fulgham, he was a practice squad guy.
He was.
Greg Ward Jr., a practice squad guy. Boston
Scott, good player.
Practice squad guy.
Yeah, I like all three of them. And they show me something.
I think the thing is the one thing that really helps in this situation, Mike, is that the Eagles receivers have been so beat up. These guys are actually getting actual reps with Carson Wentz. It's because, so when you look at the Dallas trio, they're very seldom nicked. So they're not getting a whole lot of run going with when Dak was healthy or getting a whole lot of opportunities with Andy Dalton.
No.
These guys, because their starters have been nicked so much, they're actually getting real reps because they might not practice during the week and just play on Sunday, the wide receivers, the Alshon, the D-Jacks, and things of that nature. So they're getting some opportunities, and that's what they need. But the one thing you can say about the Eagles, they might lose, but they're going to play hard.
Yeah.
And if Wentz needs to understand, the defense get played too, Mike. He can't win every snap. And sometimes he tries to win every snap, and he puts his team in harm's way.
Yeah. Hey, Michael, before we go, quick thought from you about a guy you know and love, DeSean Jackson. He got hurt again last night. They're having an MRI today. What were your emotions when you saw him get hurt?
You know, it was tough to watch D-Jack because, you know, I just recently spoke to him and, you know, he was excited to get back on the field.
Yep.
And, you know, for a guy who's up in age and is being looked at as a guy that the Philadelphia Eagles have to lean on, and even in that locker room as a leader, you want to be out there and lead by example, and that's what DeSean wants to do. So it was a big blow for Philadelphia last night, and he started out hot and looked like he was going to be the focal point of the offense, and then all of a sudden, the injury bug hit again. So DeSean got to get healthy. I think, you know, I looked at his face and I could see the level of concern. You know, I think he'll be okay. Hopefully, he'll be all right. But we need DeSean Jackson out there on a consistent basis.
That's the thing with injuries. It seems like once you get one and it happens during the season, you just can't shake it, man.
It's all over. Can't get away from it.
No mercy.
We'll see two of the better undersized but very mobile quarterbacks duel it out in the desert on Sunday night when Russell Wilson takes on Kyler Murray. Now, the second-year Cardinals QB will have his hands full against the MVP favorite. But Kyler led Arizona to 4 wins through 6 weeks, which is already just one fewer than last season. Now, Michael Vick is back with us. Michael, could Kyler end up being better than Russell Wilson?
I think it's a possibility. I think for Kyler Murray, it's all about the players that you surround him with, and it's about the coaching that he has consistently throughout his career. The one thing I can say, if you take away the jerseys and the uniforms, both of these guys are similar in skill set. They look the same, and they both play bigger than what they are. For Kyler Murray, I think at the end of the day, he'll have more rushing yards than Russell Wilson. And he might surpass everybody on the all-time rushing list because he's hard to hit. You can't really see him when he's in traffic and when he's running the football. And he's hard to bring down. So, you know, the ceiling is extremely high for Kyler. I think he'll win multiple championships. And I repeat, I think he'll win multiple championships, given that you put the right pieces around him and he has the right coaching. So infrastructure is going to be important for him. And the learning curve, as I know right now, after talking to him over the summer, he surpassed where he was last year and superseded expectations so far, but wants to continue to get better and better, and that's by watching the elite and trying to become elite.
Whew, that is high praise, Mr.
Yeah.
No doubt. True.
This is a tough one because Russell is getting better and better every single year.
I agree.
And so to say a Kyler can eventually be better than Russ, man, that means Kyler's going to possibly win 2 or 3 MVPs because I believe Russ is going to finally win the MVP this year. And I think the biggest difference from what I can see right now, and Kyler can get better at this, is accuracy. Russell is spot on right now.
He is.
And Kyler he had a 3-interception game. He had a game where he threw for 133, 160. And Russ had those games early, but it was because they wanted to run the football. They didn't allow Russ to do what he's doing now. They've tailored this offense to his skill set. Yes, they try to run the ball with Carson, but they have no problem with just totally abandoning the run and saying, Russ, go win this game. And a couple of years ago, it was all improvisation. It was all off script. Russ was pirouetting. He was running, throwing, just And now all of a sudden, Russ can beat you from the pocket. He can beat you outside of the pocket. We always know he can beat you with his legs. And he doesn't take the hits out of the skip. He gets down quick. Now, he doesn't get down as quick as Kyler, because Kyler's like, nah, y'all getting too close. Let me go on down. I don't want no 300-pound man up. So you force me right now, Skip. I'm going to say no, he's not going to be as good as Russ, because I believe Russ is only getting better. Russ, right now, Russ is on the Hall of Fame arc. The last 2 years.
I agree.
And so the next 3 years will be very important for him. He already has one Super Bowl. He gets an MVP. Probably should have had two Super Bowls. So I'm going to say, right now, I'm going to say no, because I believe Russ is only going to get better. DK Metcalf is only going to get better. Lockett's going to get better. And looking like they might get Antonio Brown. So he might have some really, really gaudy numbers this year, Skip. Mm-hmm. So right now, I'm going to say no.
I want to say that I appreciated what Michael Vick said to start us off.
Uh-huh.
I am obviously a Kyler fan. I grew up rooting for the University of Oklahoma, so it got in my blood. And when he was there, he was just off the charts great.
Mm-hmm.
He was big-time clutch, big late moments, big third downs. Trust me, he will make plays when it's time to make these plays. Against Texas, at West Virginia, which was a good team that year that he was there. And then, Shannon, against Alabama, again, he lost Hollywood Brown, his number one receiver for that game. He tried to go out there and stumbled around for a while, limped around. But do you remember he threw for 308 against Nick Saban's defense and ran for 109? So that's 417 combined yards and three touchdowns.
He had them Dak numbers. Mm-hmm. He had them empty count. We were already up 28-0.
I don't know if Dak ever was going to run for 109.
No.
All right. So I agree with your take, Shannon. This is a tough one because you don't want to disrespect the great Russell Wilson. He is great, man.
Yeah.
He is a Hall of Famer to me. I'm virtually sure. In fact, I think he's going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer. And yet you look at their sizes. They're at the combine, Kyler measured 5'10 and 1/8. Russell measured 5'10 and 5'8. So Russell is exactly a half inch taller than Kyler. So to Michael's point, they're virtually in the same package. And they're both built stout,
right,
where they have stature to them.
I think Russell's a little heavier. Russ might be about 220.
He might be. He's more heavy-legged.
Yeah, he's a little more compact.
No, I agree. But their styles are the same.
They are.
They're equally, they have equal escapability in the pocket. But Kyler, as I told Shannon before he got drafted, these are the quickest feet I've seen since Barry Sanders. And only now are you starting to see that manifest in football games where you say, oh, my God, where was that last year? Well, Kingsbury didn't let him run or didn't ask him to run as much. Now they're calling some plays.
Mm-hmm.
Now he has a legitimate number one receiver that he didn't have last year. But look at what he's been doing. Every time he plays Seahawks or 49ers, twice each last year, he played the heck out of them. Mm-hmm. And he went to Seattle late in the year last year when they were rolling, and he beat Seattle at Seattle.
Yeah.
And then he opened the year this year against the defending NFC champ, and he beat the 49ers with a big game.
Yep.
Okay? So what's not to like about his arc? It's already starting, right?
Yeah.
So I would say he has a chance to be better than Russell. He's got to stay healthy, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
But he does have something in his head, like a defense mechanism that even Michael didn't have when he ran. Something about Kyler, because he's a baseball star, he gets down fast.
Yeah.
He will take
no
chances anywhere. He protects himself at all costs.
Right.
Even in ways Michael, when he was young in Atlanta, it was the Michael Vick experience, but Michael's trying to put on a show, and occasionally he put himself in harm's way.
Yeah, and when you look at Russell Wilson, he's already solidified. He's a first ballot Hall of Famer without a doubt. And, you know, may have another. Hopefully we get to watch him for another 5 or 6 strong years because with his body stature and the way he take care of himself, he'll play for a long time. The only reason I say Kyler Murray has a chance to supersede Russ at some point is because he got years and years ahead of him. You know, another 15 years at least. And both of these guys, with the way they're built, if they take care of their bodies, they can play for an extremely long time. So that's why I say Kyler can do some amazing things if he just stay focused with the right infrastructure around him, like I said, and the coaching staff is going to be critical all the way throughout.
Yeah, and final point, they both have incredibly strong arms for their stature.
Yes, the ball looks about the same coming out.
It
the
does.
Arm. If you look
I
at
agree.
It, they got very similar throwing motions.
Mm-hmm. But both can go bombs away.
Yes.
No mercy.
Coach K had the opportunity to be on the coaching staff for both the 1992 Dream Team led by Michael Jordan and the 2008 Redeem Team led by LeBron. Now, when asked on J.J. Redick's podcast who would win a seven-game series, Coach K said that the Dream Team would have come out on top, calling it the greatest team. So, Shannon, is he right?
Be honest.
Man, this is a hard one, Skip. Because Bird was 35. Obviously, yep. Bird was a shell of himself. Mm-hmm. He ended up retiring. Magic was 30, almost 33. Stockton was 30. Jordan was 29. Malone was 28. Barkley, 29. Robinson, 26. Kobe was the oldest player on the Dream Team at 29. LeBron was 23. D-Wade, 26. Dwight Howard, 22. Melo, 24. CP3, 23. Man.
Be honest.
It's going to go seven. I might have to give a slight... Nah, I'm going Redeem Team. We got Kobe and we got Braun.
Your head was telling you to go Dream.
It was. Because y'all got them big. Y'all got Barkley. Y'all got Malone. I don't know if we got anybody that can guard them down to the plate. So if we're going to play by Olympic rules, I think we might get y'all skipped. I think Redeem Team get y'all in six.
This boils down to one man on one team. One team had Jordan. The other team didn't have Jordan. It's as simple as that.
We got Kobe and Braun.
You got Kobe and Braun. But unfortunately, you had Braun at age only 23. So to that point, coming off his fifth season in the league, he'd only been to the one finals and gotten swept by the Spurs. Mm-hmm. So he hadn't yet failed against Orlando and flamed out against Boston. And then the next year flamed out epically against the Mavs in his first Heat finals. So those things hadn't happened yet. So he didn't have much scar tissue. But Kobe was also 29, equaling Jordan at 29. Mm-hmm. So this matchup would boil down to Kobe versus his idol, Jordan. Mm-hmm. And Kobe was the closest thing I ever saw to Jordan.
Yes.
And it would go seven games. And I believe Michael would get Kobe in game seven just because he's Michael Jordan and Kobe isn't. But Kobe had his three-peat at that point alongside Shaq.
Right.
They were kind of 50-50 partners. But he hadn't won any, quote, solo championships.
Correct.
But the problem with the Redeem Team is that they have too many guys
who are,
but they're just guys. There are too many guys like Carlos Boozer,
yeah.
Tayshaun Prince, Michael Redd, Deron Williams.
Yeah, we had specialist skill. We had right. guys, that, you know, Tayshaun like, was just defense. Okay. Michael Redd just for the three.
Okay, I can give you, and they're all pretty good players.
Yeah.
You know, they're like near stars. Some of them,
but
you can
not
even
like
say,
the Dream Team.
Not like the Dream Team, because it's just there's no weak link in this whole thing except age. That's the only
right.
weak link, and you're right about that because they were aging, mm-hmm. and Bird was
more for
useless.
He was a sentimental.
He was
ceremonial
sentimental.
Guy. Yes,
but in the end, when you do have Jordan and Barkley and Karl Malone and Pippen and Ewing and Magic. Still, Magic was still 32, so he's still in his prime.
They got some bigs, man.
David Robinson.
Yeah, I'm worried about them killing us inside, Skip.
Well,
because we only had really one true big. That was Dwight.
I would worry about Jordan just killing you as the coldest-blooded killer who ever played basketball.
Oh, we got Kobe. Kobe, you got it for five. Braun sitting in that chair for about 5 to 6. Mm-hmm. D-Wade sitting in that chair. We're going to turn him over to Tayshaun. Oh, we're going to throw bodies at it.
And they would all be body bagged.
No.
Yes, they would.
Oh, Skip, that was LeBron peak at 23. Okay. LeBron might sit in that chair for the whole 40.
You think so?
Hey, Kobe, you take it for 5'10", I got him the rest of the way.
LeBron would have been scared to death.
Nah.
Yep.
It might go seven. We might let y'all hang around seven because mm-hmm. that's what we do. You know, you're not supposed to beat up on old people, so.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, so Michael was old at 29? I don't think
Michael
so.
Michael wasn't the only one on that team.
Mm. If you really respected him the way you should, all you need to know is he's on the court and the other team doesn't have him. That's and they would know in their heart of hearts, we can't beat him. This was at his apex.
No, he wasn't at
this. This is when even Magic and Bird were scared to death of him in practice.
Yeah, he was on one day. He was in his bag quite often.
Yes, he was. So they didn't have any competition in the Olympics, but this would be the ultimate game.
Yeah.
This is the game I would pay the most to watch.
To see all them guys, see, to go back, okay, we're going to roll back the time. Mike, you're going to be 29.
Mm-hmm.
Just for like, okay, y'all got 2 hours to complete a game. I don't want to go seven. Yep. You got 2 hours to complete a game. And everybody going to go back to then. So we're going to be right now, and Jordan going to be 29 in 2020.
Yep.
And Bird and Mike, everybody going to be, I don't know, Skip. I don't know.
You know what you were about to say?
No.
When we came on camera, you almost said it.
I was going back and forth, and then I thought about it.
Yeah.
We had a 29-year-old Kobe, and we had a 23-year-old Bron.
Mm.
That duo, man, the twins, it'd have been over.
Mm.
We'd got y'all.
You know what your head was telling you.
We'd have got you.
Then your heart took over.
We'd have got you.
And you would have gotten got.
I ain't betting against Kobe and Bron. Now, what, just one with the dream team? Maybe you got me. Mm. But both of them?
Mm.
Man, you see, I'll be watching clips, they be talking. Kobe, I got him. Kobe, take me. Kobe, what did Kobe tell him? Told Coach K. He said, Coach, whoever the opposing team best player is, I got it.
Mm.
That's my responsibility. That's how he was doing it then. He said, I don't even want to score because y'all know I can drop 80. Y'all know I can drop 60 if I wanted to, mm-hmm. but I want D up.
Mm.
So guess who'd have got that? Guess who'd have got D'd up? Yo, guy.
Are you serious?
Yo, guy.
You know what would happen.
Kobe was on one back then.
Destruction would happen.
Kobe was on one.
Yep.
You know that. I know that.
This would be over quickly in game seven because he'd say, watch this.
And I know Bron bamming on somebody.
Mm.
Ewing, I'm sorry, David Robinson, somebody getting hammered on.
Mm.
Bam! Getting banged on.
Dwight be having to throw some real cheap shots in this game.
And Poe John Stockton. Mm. Everybody banging on him. Mm. Sorry. Christian Laettner. Y'all ain't Christian Laettner.
Okay, but he was just the college kid.
Yeah, okay.
You had to have college guy.
No. And we got rules. Everybody got to play.
Oh, that's the rule?
Yeah, everybody got to play.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay, then you get to play Carlos Boozer all you want. Have fun.
Carlos might have that Beijing dripping on people on the court. They wouldn't have let him out there.
Well, in a dream world, this would have been the greatest matchup
yes.
of all time. In a dream
world. No mercy.